What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to another episode of 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes football podcast. That could be changing soon. We got to introduce you guys to somebody, new addition to the team, going to help us out with some other things production-wise. A lot of y'all, I'm sure, if you listen to this show, you're already familiar with him anyway. We'll bring him in a little bit later on, though. So me and him have already been discussing some ideas about how to expand and continue to go beyond football as well. So, we'll be cooking that up for you in the background. But anyways, this is your man, Larry, here once again every week. Depend on us, like the rent. It's coming, so be prepared. But he'll my co-host, man. How y'all boys doing? What's up, Measy?
Man, what's up, man? Glad to be back. Another week, 26 degrees, man, coming at you. I've been good, you know what I'm saying? How about you, X? What's going on with you?
I've been good, meet my boy, man. Chilling. Another crazy week
that
you want, but I've been good.
Yeah, no doubt, man. How y'all boys enjoyed this past weekend, man? What was going on? It was Halloween weekend, so what was the festivities looking like?
Man, I ain't do nothing, man. Nobody knock on the door. You gotta have a little key thing to get into my door, so I ain't have much going on. But it's getting cold up here in the DMV, man. I'm waking up now, it's in the 30s. You know what I'm saying? So I be bundled up already early. Probably gonna be a real cold winter. But other than that, man, I've been good, man. One day at a time, doing my thing. You know what I'm saying? Still focused and stuff, man. What about you, X?
Man, I was just besides watching football on Saturday and Sunday, I just was chilling. I don't partake in Halloween festivities stuff like that. So it's pretty good weekend.
You ain't have no trick you want to treat.
Nah.
Oh man. I feel you.
We went to boat camp on Saturday, to watch the game on Saturday. Then after that, immediately leave and go to Tussie's. I don't even know what time we left out of there. I think I left.
So you did trick. You did trick off on a treat.
Oh. Hey. Y'all know that's like about. Almost a daily, a weekly routine for me, though.
Hey, listen, I tell everybody, ain't nothing wrong with a little slick tricking, a little light tricking. Don't spend the rent, do not spend the rent. Don't blow the mortgage. Make sure the light's going to be on in the house. But yeah, throwing a little money at a pretty little thing, ain't the worst thing on the planet. That's what I like to get into in there, nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah, I tell you, I think after I had my last drink on Saturday, I was like, man, I ended up because I left, I think at 10 a.m. or 11, something like that. And my day started from there, and then it stopped to 10 p.m. So I was like, I need to lay myself down right quick.
Yeah, hey, trust me, man. My weekend, I was down in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Not the whole time, actually. I just kind of hit Jacksonville up on
I did. So you went to watch them boys get beat up?
That weekend.
Saturday I did slide down there. But I ended up going Saturday. I ain't gonna lie to y'all, I was hungover, right? I did too much poker night. And I woke up, I was like, bro, I'm not going. Yo, I'm fucked up. Like, nah.
Yeah, I saw you tweet that. You was like, you feeling hazy.
Yeah, I was like, yo, I'm trying to get my powers back, but I did a little too much last night. So ultimately what I ended up doing was seeing if I could cancel my room, which I figured I couldn't. So I was like, well, let me just see. Try to cancel. It's like, nah, it's too late. So I was like, all right, man, you better power up then. It's like I got some BioLite and some water and some Advil and a little something on the stomach. And I was like, all right, I'm getting back. I'm almost me again. And I hit the roll, went down there, and kicked it at this tailgate, man. I need to find out the event people that did that, because I want to shout them out, man. They threw a dope tailgate. So you couldn't beat the prices on that joint, man. Beautiful vibes, beautiful women, a lot of great music. They had a nice screen. And to top that off, the Gators was getting their ass kicked. So, like, you can't ask for a lot more than that, like, at the end of the day.
So yeah, I was watching good, a roll-up show today. I didn't know they'd be tailgating in Savannah and stuff.
Well, they don't tailgate in Savannah. That's why I said, that's why I kind of corrected myself. You'll have, like, the, you know, it's a lot of, so many people won't go here. First off, like, Savannah full of, you know, it's my city, so I can say this shit. Full of a lot of boring people don't never want to do shit. They don't ever want to go anywhere. They don't ever want to... I'm like, yo, Jacksonville 2 hours away, dog. What are we doing? Like, let's go down there. I guarantee you it's going to be better than what we're doing here. And nobody wanted to ride, so I was like, fuck it, bro. I'm out, man. I was like, I'm going. Y'all sit here and look at each other. Same people you see all the time. Me, I'm getting the fuck on. So, yeah, I went and hit the road. Went down there, hung out just for the evening, man. And just... God, I ain't got no complaints, bro. Got no complaints, man. Dope vibes, great food. It was like, dog, they was out from like 12 to my understanding, like 12. All you could eat, all you could drink. And the liquor was flowing. Wasn't none of that bottom shelf stuff. It was
so just, don't be playing about that large cocktail party.
I knew.
So I graduated from University of North Florida, and that's in Jacksonville, but I never went. Because sometimes, a lot of times, I used to have to work on Saturday. But most of the times when I didn't, I was like, man, I'm going nowhere, Florida affiliated. So I just never went. But we used to have buses that took the students there and everything. I always got good reviews. I mean, most of them just go to tailgate stuff, come back off slither and everything. But yeah, man, that's what's up.
No doubt. But anyways, we'll kind of get into the die. Actually, you know what? We got Maul here with us right now, so we might as well let Maul come on and kick us. I know you got kids and responsibilities and whatnot, so I'm gonna get Maul on in and see what we want to kick it about. Give me 1 second, there, Maul. I don't know what's going on with my mouse. It's acting like it don't want to. Acting like it don't want to communicate. Oh, there we go. Bet. All right, here we go. Maul was good brother.
Hey man, happy Thursday to y'all. I teach, so they gave us Friday off because the Braves won the World Series.
Oh,
are you teaching?
Where you at? You hey, in
A? Yeah, I'm in Gwinnett.
Oh, okay. Hey, Ma, I teach too. What you teach?
Seventh grade math.
Bro. Okay, yeah, I teach sixth grade health and PE.
That's what it is. What's on your mind today, brother?
Yeah. Man, just a matter of when you have a fast start, the margin for error you get over a course of a game. It made a big difference. I think NC State and Pitt were definitely better than Virginia and North Carolina. But by them having a fast start, they were able to complete the game. And it made a big difference, man. And it's just, I just need the season to go well. I just need these players to continue to develop. I'm not really getting too caught up on staff changes and stuff like that, because I don't think nothing like that's going to happen until the AD situation gets sorted out. You know, I'm hoping the fan base could just let that part play itself out and then let it go from there. Because, like, I sent a tweet to somebody yesterday, if they fire Manny on November 3rd, they're not going to be hiring a new coach on November 3rd. So just let the man finish the season. And then when it's off season, it's like whatever needs to be done, let it be done. That's how I feel. So I'm just trying to focus on what's going on the field for the rest of the year.
No doubt. I think that's what's going on too, but some people thinking the longer he stay, I mean, articles keep coming out. So the longer he stay, there's a higher chance that he might be back next year. But I mean, let's hope not. But that's a good point though. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Make your point, bro.
I was about to say my last thing. I think some people want him fired, one, to help recruiting, But then some people don't want him fired to save recruiting. But, I mean, recruiting is recruiting right now with us. I mean, it's not too – we have some good talent coming in, but it's not too much to save, I mean, right now. So, because, I mean, signing day is – early signing day is December. So, most players get signed in, like, a month and a half as it is. So, I mean, we got in a rock and a hard place right now, I guess.
Well, let me ask you – let me ask you, Maul, whose seat do you think is the hottest right now?
Definitely Blake's seat, because I feel that he's made every wrong decision up until that NC State interview when he kind of was like, hey, Manny lose, you know, he kind of was covering himself and it bit him in the behind. Like, so now I feel like there's, from what I see from the outside looking in, I know a lot of people are more plugged in, but the way I see it is there's a plan in place. It's just not going to be executed mid-season at this point. And I think before you can hire a new coach, whenever that time comes, you need a new AD in place. You need a new plan from the top and come down. If it's like switching a manager, but if the president of the company is not doing right, it's not, because who's going to come in to coach Miami if Blake is still there? I just don't see you making that great hire. Now, I'm not trying to say Manny needs to keep his job for 2-3 years. I'm not in that camp. I'm in the camp of let's get a new AD, and then whatever decision that AD makes, I'll go with it from there. And that's just how I look at what's going to be the best for the program long term. Because I think if you make a rash decision with no plan, you can't just make a coaching change and not have an outlook for the entire program. Where if you get the right AD in there, then everything else can set itself up. If you get a new AD in there, AD can say, hey, Manny, you wasn't my hire. You know, I'm happy you finished the season strong. You got the players together, but at the end of the day, you didn't do your job. You were supposed to get 10 wins this season with the schedule. You coughed up 2 losses. We going to move on. Then it's easy to do that. And then you can hire whoever it is you need to hire. But until Blake James is out of there, I don't want to see a coaching change, because it's going to be more of the same. Like, who's he going to hire?
I mean, Blake James could still get fired, but they could say we lose Saturday. They could fire Blake James at the end of the season, but Manny could still get fired. So we'll just be starting over regardless. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but what if the new AD comes in and Manny finishes his season with a winning record? And shout out to the kids. But say Manny Diaz finishes the season, all right, winning. The new AD might be like, hey, you know, he finished the season winning. I'll give him 1 extra year. But I feel like if the AD does that, we don't have the right AD as it is.
Well, the names that are coming up for AD, I'm not going to disclose them just yet, but they not going to keep Manny. I'm just keeping it real. It's going to be, but I agree. Like, yeah, you, obviously I want something to be, I want it change right now, but I understand that you wait till the end of the season. You know what I'm saying? He lost games outside of the Bama game. He lost games that were close, a game that should have been won. That's why he shouldn't keep the job. But you don't fire him because he lost games close. If it was like last year losing, I don't even remember the score that North Carolina put on us in Clemson. Like, if it was something like that, then yeah, we got to make a change right now, because that's just embarrassing. So I'm cool with waiting till the end of the season. The AD situation, yeah, that's going to be another situation that we all waiting for to happen. I'm thinking maybe December, early December, something like that. So we'll see how that goes with that. And that's it.
I feel like, Maul, it would be, and you know, because, like, I know, X, you know, you got more inside info, but let's say in the dream scenario, right, Manny goes, he finishes up this season 8-4. Very favorable schedule to do that. And like you said, we lost some close ones that we probably shouldn't have. I think, you know, I'm with y'all. I think this should have been a 10-2 season, really, at worst, just with the schedule. I just Bama, I give you. Obviously, they're light years ahead of us at this moment. And then, you know, I was like, not necessarily UNC, but I knew it was going to be one more loss on the schedule just because the team still isn't there yet. And so let's say now he goes 8-4 and we get to play for the ACC, beat Wake Forest. Now we're 9-4. And then you play in a New Year's Six Bowl. And let's say we win that one versus whatever, Cincinnati or something like that, right? So now he finishes out 10-4. I would find it a little hard to believe that the new AD would terminate him at that point. What's y'all thoughts?
What would you do, though, Al?
I can't terminate him at that. Not after that. I can't. That's too much of a turnaround.
You got to look at it like this. If a new AD comes in, he don't want to be graded on someone else's problem. He want to be graded on his problem. You know what I'm saying? So a lot got to happen where just if he does go and win 10 games, win the bowl game, a lot has to happen for the new AD to say, well, we're going to ride with you still. You know what I'm saying? Because for them to bring in a new AD, they saying, well, look, we want you to come in and get your vision. You know what I'm saying? So he coming in with a whole new vision already. He not thinking, oh, well, man, he's still my vision. Or he's still, you know what I'm saying, university vision. He's saying, y'all not going to fire me because this guy's still here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're going to fire me because something I did, not because I kept something that was supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? So that's what AD is, you know what I'm saying? It's rare AD going to keep a coach that's not successful.
You're right. Yeah, no, you're right. That's rare just altogether. But what you about to say, Ma?
Oh, I was going to say, to add on that, the way I look at it, let's say that hypothetical 8-4, 9-4, 10-4, just say he wins out the rest of his games, whether it's an ACC or not. To me, the only way that AD would keep Manny is the guy who he wants to hire, for whatever reason, can't come yet. And I'll play the hypothetical. Let's say Mario. Let's say Oregon makes it to the playoff. And they lose a close game. Mario might say, I need one more year. We're very close here. Manny's got 3 years of a 5-year deal. Might put that hire on ice, right? And then if Oregon loses another game, maybe Mario realizes, or maybe when the Final Four gets made, maybe Oregon gets screwed because they're in the Pac-12. And maybe Mario realizes, I hit a ceiling here. If I can't go undefeated, I'm not going to make it. I might as well go to Miami. That's a great option. And if we talk about any other coach, let's say I would just use Lane as an example. To me, Lane's not leaving Ole Miss until that Arch Manning recruitment's over with. Because I think Lane would love to coach Arch Manning if he could get him.
Don't be so sure about that, bro. Don't be so sure about Lane.
I'm just going off of the way I see it. I feel like he would probably enjoy that, but if you could get him, get him. Like, for me, if you could get Mario or Lane, the deal's done. Bake that cake. You ain't got to hesitate.
You wouldn't go with the coach from Kentucky, Mark Stoops?
Here's the thing about Stoops. To me, if Manny loses another game, I'd 100% take Stoops now. If Manny runs the table, I don't know if I want to shake everything up for Stoops necessarily. That's just me being honest. Like, he's done great at Kentucky. I don't know if he'll take Miami to that level. I'm not sure. He can develop. He's maxed out Kentucky, obviously. He can beat Florida every other year, it seems. So, but for me, I wouldn't mind it, but I'm not. That's definitely third on that list. And then I don't see any other coach that would make sense at this point.
Out of all of them. I don't want Lane, to be honest.
I see what you're saying about if Manny wins out. But if he's fired, say we just fire him like next week, then you're saying we basically hire, we go and say, Mark Stoops, the job is yours. But if Manny wins out, you don't want to fire him because now it's it's okay. I see. Yeah, a bunch going on basically over recruits and okay.
His momentum could be positive, and he's in year 3 of 5. And if he doesn't do right, you don't got to extend him. He's just staying in his contract.
So I don't know if he will really leave Kentucky, man. I mean,
he won't now. He won't now because the buzz right now is okay. I wasn't going to get into this till later, but since Maul came in, it's kind of been introduced a little bit earlier, right? So Manny Navarro put the article out, and that's where some of this conversation kind of stirs up from. He got an opportunity to sit down and talk to some difference makers in the program. And so part of those conversations, what came out was essentially that they are invested now into the athletics department more so than they have been maybe ever, but definitely in the last 20 years. With Shalala having a different stance on how money should be spread out throughout the program, her stance was athletics takes care of the athletics, and basically you take care of your own. So if like UM Medical is making a lot of money, then that just goes back into UM Med. However, the tone of the article basically made it sound like the people that are in charge, the board of trustees, administration, people of that nature, have kind of been fed up with the narrative that they don't care and they're willing to move funds around in order to improve the athletic department all in all. So with that being the case, Blake James definitely seems like his seat is the most sizzling hot, right? So if that be the case, no coach is going to come right now because they aren't the new ADs hired. So that's where we're sitting right now. And it also said in that article pretty much, Manny's good for the year. That's kind of a given. And it makes sense. Just like Maul said, like, why pay for a buyout in anything? You hear now, just let him finish the season. Kids haven't quit on him. You know, so at this point, it makes absolutely no sense to just throw money away behind a guy that you're going to get rid of. Yeah, he may be getting be gotten rid of, but also with him turning things around, maybe they feel a little bit of an obligation to let him go out on a high note. You know, if he goes out on a high note, you know, this guy will land another head coaching job, maybe something a little more suited to where he should be, and then he can work his way back up to the big boys, you know, in a few years. So that's kind of my
view. See, I got two things, though, but even the Shalala thing, when we were winning titles, going to the BCS bowls, getting that money, we were sending some of that money to the other schools, like the medicine school and all that stuff. And my second thing, if I'm not mistaken, that's what we were doing. And my second thing is, if we fire Manny after the season, we still gonna have to pay buyouts, or is it a less amount we have to pay if we let him finish?
Buyout's going to be all about negotiation. And kind of like what Larrion said, if he finished the season strong, maybe there's another school that'll take Manny in a heartbeat. He can recruit South Florida. He just coached Miami. So you never know. It's just a matter of what the vision Miami has. As long as Miami's got that vision, we're going to be good to go. And
yeah, the buyout, I mean, and the buyout is not as much as what everybody think it's going to be. It's something that if they really want to, they can just cut the check, like, right now, immediately. But, yeah, at this point.
But that's my question, X. Why is there going to be a difference in amount we have to pay him if we fire him, like, Sunday? Or if we wait till after the season? Different amount? Like, if we fire him Sunday, or if we fire him at the end of the season, is it going to be that much of a difference in what we paying him in the buyout?
No, it won't be a difference. It's based on years, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I was thinking.
It's not based on game by game, you know, it's based on years.
Okay, but what we have to consider as well is, and this is another reason I think Blake James is gone, he has a bad perception, right? He basically, as a businessman, you got to respect it, right? Because he basically swindled Al Golden out the rest of his money. you know, through some shit. Like he basically like backdoored him. He did that, but that's a bad rep for trying to hire a good coach.
Now, did you see the Adidas thing?
I saw that where he was.
Come on,
yeah. Now you're right. Yeah, you're right. That's his negative.
You this money man, and you let this happen under your watch. Now,
right. For those who don't know, essentially there was details within the Adidas contract that we signed that basically said that Miami would receive, you know, the highest revenue out of any other teams that were with Adidas. Because essentially we're the biggest brand with Adidas. You got, what, Texas A&M, Louisville. UCLA? I think UCLA still with them, Nebraska.
NC State. Yeah.
NC State, right. So clearly we're the biggest brand out of all of those. And, yeah, he did miss a clause in there that left some money on the table. Somebody else pointed out to him. Right, you're right. That's a chink in the armor. But they're both chinks in the armor, because what you're looking at is you don't want the perception to be what coaches want to gonna come in knowing that, hey man, if things go sour, y'all not even going to honor my buyout. You're going to tie me up in litigation and leave me and my guys in the basically out in the dark by ourselves. It's like, yo,
a first time head coach like Diaz.
He did it with Al Golden, though. So that's what I'm saying.
I feel like Blake James didn't have as bad as a rep under Golden, but now.
But now it is what it is. So that's the other thing. That's the other reason. If you want to bring in a good coach, I think Blake James has to go, period. It's just no good coach is going to work for Blake James.
And he's not going to hire a good coach.
Glad Drew. Actually, Drew brought up a couple of good points for us. I didn't let the cat out of the bag, so we'll introduce him later. But Maz Drew is coming on with us as a producer, but he actually gave us a couple of good points. UCLA is actually Under Armour now. I forgot about that.
We the biggest brand for
Yeah, Adidas. We're still the biggest brand. Yeah, but he just corrected us on that. I appreciate it.
They have Adidas, but even if you add them together, UM is still the biggest brand.
It's the biggest brand.
Far. Like, when I read it, I see Louisville, really? Like, Louisville brand is, like, nowhere near. Nowhere near. At all,
I think they input the basketball into that as well, though. Maybe
it's still the brand, it's the U's bigger than the L. Period.
I'm talking about they brand
can't compete, right? Even the U, right? The U that they use from everything is from the football,
and that's it. Nobody outside of Kentucky is repping Louisville,
right? So another good point. Louisville basketball is close to Miami football, but basketball ain't close to football when it comes to revenue earning. It's not even close, unless you're talking about like Duke. Like, you really got to be talking about like Duke and UNC. Outside of that, maybe Kentucky.
Yeah,
but they don't earn near the revenue that you earn via football.
And what? Louisville probably did was they cashed in when they had Bridgewater, then they had Lamar. So their brand went up. They renegotiated the contract and they had football to add to it. But again, it all goes back to Blake's gone. I don't see Blake staying because if you read the tea leaf, people like Mario would never come to Blake. So that means, I mean, I put two and two together. I'm just like, there's no way Blake's here after the season. Especially
even if it ain't Mario. I just
looked up something interesting. As of 2012, which was 2 years ago, well, 1.5 years ago, however you want to put it, Louisville is the second highest earner in college basketball, which is huge. They're over Duke. Kentucky's one and Louisville's two. That's why I wanted to say maybe Louisville's basketball has something to do with that. Because being the second highest earner in college basketball, I mean, over Duke, that's huge.
Okay, but then we probably, and I mean, maybe we can crunch the numbers. But then what is the highest earning basketball compared to the highest earning football? I would imagine those are pretty big worlds apart. I could be wrong.
Ross is comparing them to Miami, though.
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, no, I get really what you're saying. Yeah.
You're not earning, like, what top five in football is. So
and
I see the Louisville with you, the basketball thing.
What I can tell you, though, probably a big part of that is the Adidas contract. That's what people – like, people forget that Nike – Nike didn't pay us as well as Adidas did. So that helped our revenue go up a lot. I know I was against going to Adidas my damn self. I was a Nike guy, you know, but just like everybody else, I'm a Miami guy over that. So eventually I end up three stripe life, right? So I got, you know, I got superstars, ultra boosts. You know what I mean? I fell in line with the brand. So you look at that and you look at the ACC network money. And so, yeah, that probably boosted them up as well. But again, it didn't matter.
Yeah, but like everybody's saying, Blake can't help us out. Blake can't help us out.
He has, but I mean, he's not perfect. He has. He's been a good guy for you know, earning revenue. That's one of the reasons we've kept him around. But the actual product on the field in basketball, football, and baseball have suffered greatly. So
you think he's helped Miami athletically in all the departments?
No. He's made them profitable enough. He's made them profitable enough. But what the administration hadn't been looking at is, well, what if we were actually good?
Right.
That's the game changer. What if we're actually good? That's what I think people are starting to see. So now they're more invested in the idea of investing in the athletics in order to, hey, it's still the bottom dollar. It's still about money, but we can make even more if this is a successful school academically and athletically.
And I think the program, too, realizes that with Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC, there's going to be a bigger shift down the road, and we got to set ourselves up so when that happens, you know, we'll be in line with whatever moves gets made. If the SEC and Big Ten, there's two super conferences, we're going to make sure we the first ones there. Or if Notre Dame comes to ACC, however it shakes out, we have to make sure that we're not behind. And seeing that there's a plan in place, that's definitely, you know, what's up. And, you know, we're going to be.
Well, the Big Ten, ACC, and Pac-12 are combined, you know, and then within the next few years, though, right?
Wait, what was that?
The big what now?
The Big Ten, ACC, and Pac-12, I thought was combining.
No.
They're combining. It's just playing they basically interchanging games during the season.
And that's a handshake deal. It's not even a contract.
Yeah, that's so it's basically nothing. We'll play ACC or play. It'll almost be an ACC Big Ten week. You know what I'm saying?
So just to get more like viewers, to get more money back.
It'll be something like that. Like, well, the whole ACC play the whole Big Ten.
Right. And it's just a handshake deal again.
Yeah, so it's a handshake deal, and it's to kind of balance. The SEC is about to have Oklahoma and Texas, right? So that's like a lot more major marquee matchups of brands. So with the ACC, the Big Ten, and Pac-12 is saying, we will make sure our brands match up. So you might get a Miami versus USC in the future. Like, they're just be at negotiation table for certain matchups. And try to minimize.
Which is smart because you want to – I mean, it's hard to basically compete with the SEC because they have the power. You know what I'm saying? The NCAA focus all that power towards the SEC. You know what I'm saying? But now when you have a Miami playing the USC – that's a game that everybody gonna want to watch. Mm-hmm. Or a Miami playing Ohio State. That's a game that everybody gonna want to watch. You know what I'm saying?
So basically, just trying to get the money from the viewers from the watching the games. And basically, I got you.
Yeah, because if you got Bama playing Auburn 1 week, and then Miami's playing Duke, you know, Miami fans might want to watch the Alabama game. You know, so if you got Bama playing Auburn and then Miami play Ohio State. Uh-oh. Now we got to make sure one play at a different time. You know what I'm saying? Because we can't have them both playing at the same time because that's a big game. So, words like that, man. But we'll see how it goes, man. I still think Miami should have been left the ACC years ago.
Yeah, it's a mute point, man. So I get what I was trying to do, I guess, with the team. Because, I mean, after that SEC deal with Oklahoma and Texas, I mean, them other conferences had to do something. So that was pretty much the only thing they could do. So, I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. But go ahead. Go ahead, Ma.
I was just going to say, and then once that happened, the 12-team playoff kind of died down. So end of the day, the way I look at it, NCAA it's a pie, right? And it's just they figuring out how they're going to slice this pie up. And at the end of the day, ACC is not going to get all the money. And these big brands are going to make sure they get their slice of pie. Miami, Ohio State, Michigan, they're going to get their slice of pie.
Florida State, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Clemson.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which is kind of strange because you think you would have thought the SEC would have jumped after Clemson a lot. And they didn't, you know, so I don't think.
Why do you think that is? So, X, you think it's not enough history or not enough money in Clemson?
I don't know. I know Clemson, they generate some good money, but I don't know if it's the SEC money that they want. I don't think Clemson, but Clemson brand is definitely not as big as Texas and Oklahoma. So, I think if in order for them to take Clemson, they would need to take another team who brand matches.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, maybe Florida State, maybe Florida State's brand can match Clemson's brand, but I don't know if they wanted Florida State in. I know the Gators didn't want Florida State in the SEC. So, and that's another thing, you know what I'm saying? Gator fans, they don't really want Florida State and Miami in the SEC because that's going to hurt them.
And the reality is ESPN pushed this move because they had to pay that Longhorn Network money. So instead of them paying the Longhorn money that was going to fail, they just shifted money around and was like, all right, we can put y'all on the SEC.
Yeah, all this is everybody wins. ESPN got their foot in a lot of this, man.
Yeah.
I mean, ESPN got their foot in a lot of this.
Yeah, that was their decision.
All right, well. Let's see. Actually, like I said, that's kind of been indirectly. We pretty much went over that Manny article. I was going to get to that later, but since Maul kicked it with us early, that kind of went over the finer details of that article. The only other thing left in general, and we'll just kind of go around the room real quick and we'll leave that alone. They basically said that they're going to spend the money, right? Money won't be an issue. How bought in are you all as, you know, fans of this program? How much do you believe it? Are you, how skeptical are you?
Man, I've been hearing that for some years now. Money's not the issue. And then we have a Blake James ordeal, a Manny Diaz ordeal.
Wait, real quick, before you go any further, who have you heard that money isn't an issue from?
I mean, just like people around the program, like I feel like we've been hearing about these donors saying this for, and boosters saying this for like the last 10 years. Like, I mean, money's not an issue, but as soon as Mark Rick comes, like he puts some of his own money up for an indoor practice facility. Maybe money's not an issue, but like we've all been saying, it's not getting put in the right places and things like that. So money may not be an issue, but I feel like I've just been hearing that for a while now. Like, Mark Rick comes from an SEC program, finally get an indoor practice facility, which he knew we needed. He put some of his own money up. Who was it? The Sulfurs or whatever?
Yeah,
talked to help put money up. So I was like, where was all this at? We always have this money, but we're not using it. And like, if we had that money, where's the money going?
For one, we didn't have a coach. We didn't have a coach that required stuff like that. All our coaches were like, hey, we satisfied with what we got. You know what I'm saying?
And we didn't have an AD who required that as well.
Yeah, so the money is always, man, UM is a private university where maybe 50% of their alumni end up becoming millionaires. Probably more. I haven't seen the numbers, but maybe something around that become millionaires. So you could basically know that the money is there because they do donate them to back to the school and stuff like that. The school is in heart of Coral Gables. That's one of the richest cities in the world. In America. So money is there. Whether they want to spend it on sports, it has always been the question.
But see, we had this talk on a roll-up show. Most of the alumni aren't from even, not even going to say Miami, not from Florida. A lot of them aren't really, so to speak, sports fans. So the money that they're giving back to the program, are they just saying here, give it to whatever, or are they putting this in certain programs?
Let me stop you right there. That's a false narrative about a lot of them don't support the sports. That's a false narrative. It's a small school. Mostly half of school is trying to go to the game, if not there already. Like, it's a small university, so they know how important sports is to the school.
So they're giving the money back. Go ahead, Al.
No, I was just going to say, so this is where my skepticism lies, but also this is where I feel optimistic, because I've heard people that are familiar with things in Miami have been saying for years, oh, Miami got money, Miami got money, Miami got money, right? But then the narrative has always been Miami ain't got no money.
That's what I'm saying, L.
But then,
that's what I was saying.
And that's why I stopped you and asked you, who did you hear it from? That's why I trust Manny Navarro. I know a lot of people aren't the hugest fan of Manny, but I think Manny's a transparent guy. You know, he calls it like it is. Even when a lot of people
Alonzo came and said it too. He said the money, like, there's money there.
Right. It's just what they want to do.
They know it's money there. It's just, do we want to give this money to athletics?
Right. And that's where the Navarro article came in. He said he spoke to, you know, he didn't reveal the sources. Obviously, he spoke on anonymously at that point. But the source, you know, is tied in, said money won't be an issue, basically, you know, confirming that, hey, we're ready to put the money in. We're kind of sick of the narrative. We're ready to actually spend the money.
I could confirm.
I'm inclined to believe it. That's what I'll say. That, go ahead though.
I can confirm that it's true. It's some real high paid boosters and that's ready to cut checks and major checks, like extra checks. That's the money already there, but they ready to cut extra checks for UM to get back to successful. It's just waiting on to see what the situation with AD is. Once that happens, then you know what I'm saying, you'll start to see the dominoes falling in place.
This is what I wanted to ask you all too. So I'm hearing Julio Frank won't necessarily be the one hiring the AD. It's I forgot the dude's name. It's escaping me right now, but I'm hearing Julio Frank is trying to keep himself away from the whole athletic situation, even hiring the AD. He had basically like
Rudy Fernandez.
Yeah, something like that.
Julio Frank is a medical man. He's a medical man. He don't know nothing about sports. Right. Why everybody keeps he don't know anything about sports. He's medical.
Neither does Frank at Miami. So who's gonna hire the AD then?
You say who's gonna hire the AD?
Yeah, if
yeah, gonna be the board of trustees. They're gonna have another. It's supposed to be another meeting on November 17th.
X dropping gems. Respect. Yeah,
right.
I was hearing Frank. Go ahead, Mom.
No, I was just gonna say, look, at least he knows his limitations. He's like, he doesn't know sports, so why would you want him to make the hire? What he's gonna do is he's gonna entrust a few people that, well, what direction are we gonna go? And that's how you do business and go from there. So, like I said, once the money's lined up, like it was said before, it's all about the allocation. Like, what's the plan? And there's the plan in place, but I know that plan ain't gonna drop November 4th. So we might as well just enjoy these games, enjoy these freshmen balling, and enjoy the growth. Hope everybody stay healthy and just relax. Because
if we want everything right now, and if we try to get everything right now, we're probably gonna mess it up again.
No doubt. Anything you want to leave us with, Maul, man? We're gonna get my man's on here.
Oh, for sure, man. Just not much other than just tell the fan base, just stay patient. It's chess, it ain't checkers, man. Like, chess moves is being made, and people gotta stop begging for this simple jump. Like, if you look at the chessboard, everything's setting up right. People right. just gotta relax and be patient, man.
A-Rod.
Check Maul.
R-E-L-A-X. No doubt, Maul. Hey, we appreciate you kicking with us again, man. No doubt, man. You know, we always love having you on, bro. We'll holler at you next time, man.
For sure.
All right, later, bro.
All right, Maul.
So I actually kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit earlier, reading the chat, but, you know, here to formally introduce our new producer, going to be helping us out with show ideas, editing, all of the above. If you're a fan of the Roll Up, which I'm assuming you are, if you're checking us out, you're already familiar with him. It's Kane out west, my man, Drew. Drew, say what's up to the people, man.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Yeah, this is Drew. I'm out here in Cali. Been a Kane fan all my life. I love the Hurricanes. People ask me why. I'm like, I don't know. I just been a Kane fan since I was a kid. And so I'm here to help out, ask some ideas, and get this show rolling.
That's what's up, man. I'm the same way, man. I'm from Georgia, man, but I'm an 80s baby. So when I was coming up, that was just a team. You know, I was coming up, starter jackets was popping. And Miami had to be one of the top sellers. It was like Miami, Chicago Bulls, Orlando Magic back then. You know, so it was just like, yeah, so like regardless.
49ers.
Yeah, I'm a Niners fan. Yo. Raiders, so that's what it all ties together. I actually like.
Yeah, I'm gonna hold it down for the little younger crew. But growing up, we'll clown somebody wearing some goddamn starter jackets, but. I'm growing up now, so they back.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, you don't know about
funny how it comes full circle. Yeah. Like Champion in my day was some clown shit to wear. Now it's like hot with the kids. So you know, it's funny. Funny how you see things change and evolve. So that's dope. But anyways, yeah, Drew's gonna be here with us for the foreseeable future, gonna be helping us out in all capacities. You know, he'll hop on mic with us as well. You actually had a USC take you wanted to get off before we kind of slide down the rest of the docket. So yeah, I'll let you have the floor.
So when I look at like our program, I kind of look at it as USC, like the school and everything, because it's similar. It's large. I mean, USC is has a bigger student population than Miami, but as far as the relevancy to the city, I don't think any other private school matters more to a city than Miami does to Miami, and then what USC does to LA. Just like in Miami, people care about the Hurricanes more than they care about the Dolphins, and just like in LA, people care about the Trojans more than the Rams or the Chargers, whoever else is in that city. I mean, it goes Lakers, Trojans, Dodgers. That's how it goes in LA. And but the thing is, the big difference between the two schools is the administration. USC, they'll commit money. They'll commit a lot of money to USC, to the campus, and they'll commit a lot of money to the program. And they're not scared to fire a coach. Like I said I said if Manny lost to North Carolina, I was like they should have just given him the USC treatment. And what USC does, they don't even let the coach come back to the offices after the game. Like, they fired Sarkisian like that. They fired Hilton Kiffin like that. And then they fired Hilton in the locker room. Like, right after the game, they even let him go to the locker room. Like, pretty much fired him on the field. So in order for us to get to, like, that type of level, we got to have an administration that's going to care. Like, that's not going to be all friendly to everybody. And show some aggression to win. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people say, oh, they don't want crystal ball, this and that third. But when somebody told me that what Chris Ball did to T-Rob at a couple years ago, they got him in trouble. I was like, man, we need a coach like that. I was like, we need a coach that's gonna tell the motherfucker Nick Saban, yo, go sit on the curb while I'm in the school, while I'm recruiting. Like you're not gonna come in here and just keep taking these players. And I feel like with our administration, it's not like USC, where it's like they make sure that they're going to try and be successful. They might do some shady shit to get there, but at least if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And that's just how I feel on it.
No, that's a fact. Andrew,
it's funny you say that too, because some people try to argue you and say, oh, well, Miami ran through three coaches just like USC did, but USC three coaches had a lot less time at that school, and they're actually trying. I'm saying like they're trying, right? Hell has still been to a New York Six Bowl and beat Penn State, I believe.
They won the Pac-12 in 2017.
Right, and they're still getting a lot of big boys from their state. Yeah, they ran through coaches. They haven't gotten it right in a while, but they ran through some coaches, but they don't give those coaches too much leeway like Miami does, giving these boys some dumb buyouts after winning eight games and stuff. So I agree with everything you just said.
Yeah, like we got to get Miami as a program.
And there's another college out there, UCLA. There's another college out there. Miami's the only D1, like big time college in Miami. Like,
so for 6 hours.
I completely understand what you're saying.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, Miami has to, like, I've always felt like this is like a Miami fan. Like, I feel like the school should own the title of State of Miami. So anything south of the I-4 south, they should have had billboards all over the place, all over in Orlando, all over in Tampa, all over anything south of the I-4. They should have just had billboards of Miami. I've always felt that Miami as a school, as an athletic program, they should always have like shit like that. And it's like they don't. And then because I went to the Miami Florida game a couple years ago in Orlando, and I get them like, yo, once I get to Florida, you know what I mean, I'm gonna get some Miami shit. I went to like three malls in Orlando and didn't see not one Miami shirt.
Oh, nah, it ain't, yeah. You ain't gonna find too much in Orlando. You gotta go south. You gotta go a little more southern than that. Orlando is a Gators town by and large.
And that's ridiculous because we got five national championships and can't find nothing unless you in Miami. That don't make sense.
You can't go 5 hours north of Miami. You can't find that one Miami shirt. But that's kind of sad.
I
mean,
I was at that game too. Now you say that, I was there. But I'll tell you what, man, because we've been going a little minute now, let's go ahead and slide down the rest of this docket, man.
All right.
What else we got? Oh, no. All right. We went out of order, but let's go ahead and recap Pitt. Miami went up to Pittsburgh, pulled off a 38-34 victory. I think X was, were you? I think, no, we all picked us to win, didn't we?
I picked us to win. I say we was gonna win. I think it was like 35-21, something like that.
I think you did. Yeah,
21.
We'll get checked back on the old tape, figure that out. Meezy, I believe, picked us to win, and I did as well. I had us winning by about six. Ended up being a 4-point game. A game that was, you know, horribly officiated. But that's just college football to me.
That's just ACC football.
I mean, maybe. I think we do have the worst, but it's hard for me to say because I watch more ACC football than anything. Just because it's more relevant to my team. So I just want to know who we have to worry about. I want to know the running back to look out for, wide receiver, linebacker, blah, blah, blah. So Tyler Van Dyke went out. Had a fantastic game, continuing the streak from the previous week, or starting a streak, I guess would be a better way to put it. Kid looks sharp, man. Unrattled, confident, strong arm. I've heard a couple of people compare his release to, you know, another Miami great, Dan Marino. So, you know, I guess real quick thoughts on as I got from the old Orange Bowl boys, I've nicknamed him now Tyler Van Dimes. Thoughts on him and how he performed this week or this past week?
You want me to go first?
Go ahead.
Okay. I was a Tyler Van Dyke fan from day one. I remember I kept saying, oh, well, Jake. I love Jake. But I go to the practices. I've seen – I play a quarterback. I see Tyler has what it takes to be a quarterback. When he came out with that press conference and said that with North Carolina State, that solidified me right there. I said, yes, that's my guy. Because he said, hey, we're going to go out there and beat them because we beat them last year. And you see the team riding behind them. Now you see Lashley starting to call plays that fits him, throwing down the field, trick plays, stuff like that. Well, as a quarterback, you just want to have the ability to make plays, throw it to the right people. You don't want to, okay, well, he caught this play and he want me to throw the ball right up. He's not doing that no more. Now he's saying, it's the play. You got 3-4 options, not two no more.
Right.
Give him the ability to make plays down the field. The defense they played pretty good early on in the first half. I'm starting to see, man, the talent that we have, and we are playing better because our talent is better. Once we get that coaching where we coach better, games won't be close at all. Our talent gap in the ACC is far greater than everybody besides Clemson.
Wow, so, I can agree with you there.
So our games, just look at it. Just look at Saturday. Saturday game was talent. I don't think we outcoached Pittsburgh. It was talent. You got freshman James Safety, freshman Cam Kitchens making plays. You got Rambo making plays. You got the tight end Arroyo making plays. You got Tyler Van Dyke. All these guys are highly recruited out of high school. They're making plays. Our talent is there. We just haven't added it with the coaching. Once we do that, you know what I'm saying? We have a good team. But good game, man. 38-34. It should have been worse than that. We got skunked in the second half. We only scored, one touchdown when we was up 30-31-17. So, still got a lot to work on.
I got the same sentiments as L, basically. I personally don't think Diaz has outcoached anyone since he's been at Miami, since he's been the head coach. The games we've won, and they've been a lot of close games. The talent difference is basically what wins us the game. Like, we saw the North Carolina State game, him calling the timeout before halftime and stuff. And even late in the game, we tried to lose the game. Van Dyke is helping us win some of these games. He's maturing. I like Van Dyke coming out of high school. I was definitely on the Jake Garcia train. I thought Jake was just a better natural quarterback. He still might be. We might just have two monsters on the squad, but we don't know that yet because we haven't seen him play. But I agree with everything X said about the whole Van Dyke thing and the coaching. We're winning these games because of talent and talent alone, especially having a pocket, a pure passer like Van Dyke. Lashley's opening up the playbook more. Lashley even looks kind of different. Still not sold on him, but he even looks different. So, yes, I agree 1,000% with everything X said.
It's funny you bring that up because I mentioned it before, and you know, it's funny because I don't know if y'all saw that, but the OBB account had said, did anybody think possibly that Tyler was the better quarterback on the roster already? And shout out to Kelvin Harris. Kelvin Harris was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, he was like, I forget his exact quote. I should have had it pulled up, but you saying that just made me think about it. But I
off of rankings, pretty much. That's what it was. Most people think looking off of Tyler was like 250. Jake Garcia was top 100.
Not Tyler and Jake. Tyler versus Eric. That's what they were questioning. It was like, was Tyler better than Derrick?
Tyler's a better natural quarterback.
So they question, is Tyler better than Derrick at quarterback?
Say that again. I didn't catch that.
Is he a better quarterback or a player?
Quarterback. Yeah, he's a better quarterback.
Anybody who has eyes will tell you.
Well, I suggested that.
Has Kenny had two back-to-back performances like this, though, at Miami? No. I mean, King's a better athlete. King's a better athlete. King is not a better quarterback.
I agree.
He's not a better quarterback.
No, I agree. And I said that people are forgetting that when we got Rhett Lashley from SMU, his quarterback was not a mobile quarterback. It was Shane Buechele. And I said then, I think maybe the offense would run better through a Shane Buechele type, because we're trying to run it through D'Eriq, but D'Eriq isn't anything like him. Two totally different players. I suggested that early, and I remember being on the show, and they were like, so who do you think throws better downfield? And I said, oh, I think Van Dyke probably gives us the better shots downfield. I said mechanics, I think Van Dyke's better as well, even though he has a bit of a sidearm, but that's because he played baseball. You know who else played baseball and his quarterback? Patrick Mahomes. He pitched. They both played.
Josh Allen kind of sidearm. It's just
sidearms as well. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so that didn't deter me about him at all. So, you know, I think in generally speaking, I think we got our guy at QB. And for the Garcia people, don't fret. I can't remember who brought it up before. Might have been X. It don't matter if the TBD goes out there and balls out next year, he gone. Then you get Garcia. So relax. It's fine. We got to get over it as a fan base, wanting all the new shiny toys to be the best. When it's the truth, sure, we'll run with that. Like, Leonard Taylor shouldn't be on our bench. James Williams shouldn't be on our bench. But that ain't always the case for every freshman, man. Like, you got to chill. Right. Like, let's be honest. And I think guys have to develop.
And I think with Tyler, too, his baseball background, if you watch how he throws, it's like he pinpoints the ball. You know how, like, some quarterbacks just loft it up there, and then, like, the quarterback, like, the receiver has to make a play. Like, his throw, he pinpoints it. Like,
dude, that touchdown he threw to Keyshawn Smith over that safety. I don't know if you all remember that touchdown. I mean, that's big boy.
They credit to both of them.
His feet weren't even set. That's just that, like Drew saying, that baseball, like that side on.
Yeah.
Right, man. Come on.
And then, you know, him as a pitcher, you know, pitchers got that same mentality, like a corner where they got to forget what happened the play before. You, like in the Pittsburgh game, the first drive, he got sacked on the first play of the game. He got up, and then the next play, he hit a dart for like 25 down the field to Harley.
To Keyshawn Smith. I remember to Keyshawn Smith.
And then the next play, he hit another dart. I was like, oh, man, this dude's ready. I was like, man, he brushed off that sack. You know, some quarterback, they get sacked the first play, and it, like, they get rattled. It takes them maybe two drives to finally get back into the game. But him being a pitcher, you know, he got that ability to just forget about the last play and just keep going. And then I feel like he gets better as the game goes on.
And it's nothing against the Reed King, but what's the height difference on that? Like 5 feet?
5'10" and 6'4", and then he's throwing the ball.
That's 5 inches, I'm in. I mean, come on.
Goddamn, 5 feet. What the hell?
My bad.
He ain't that small.
Right, y'all know what I mean?
Come on, health teacher. What you doing, health teacher?
I'm tripping.
That's 7 inches.
And that's huge in terms of football. You can see over the line. Like, Van Dyke doesn't have to roll out. Right.
I mean, anybody who Derrick King is the better player. And that's it. Tyler Van Dyke is the better quarterback.
Man, if Van Dyke... If Van Dyke finishes the season undefeated and gets the ACC championship, you can't even say he's not the better player.
King's only the better player right now because King has 4 years of playing experience. That's the only reason I feel, in my opinion,
Van Dyke can play himself to the first overall pick, if you really want to think about it. He got the NFL size. He got the arm. He got the intelligence. He got the swagger to him. or whatever.
I mean, look, when you look, when I say better player, let's look at it. NFL, they don't say Lamar Jackson is a better quarterback. They'll say he's a better player.
I don't think Mahomes is a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson.
I don't think so either, but I'm just saying, looking at it from the standpoint of
y'all both wrong, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was about to say the same. That sounded crazy to me. Just then. I think Lamar Jackson's a better player and athlete, but Mahomes is definitely the better quarterback. I mean, come on now. You're not nothing against Lamar, but quarterback.
If you put Lamar Jackson in that Kansas City system, I think he'll have better numbers.
Do you think so? You trust Lamar to throw a team to a game better than Mahomes? Not Mahomes, I'm just talking about quarterback.
But Mahomes, what Mahomes does is he just throws the ball to Tyreek Hill or one of them guys in space, and then they make the yards. So it's like,
I ain't gonna say that's all he do, but I mean,
he's in Mahomes' cabin right now. He's having a Jameis Winston interception type season right now.
I think that's just because they caught on to that offense and that Andy Reid offense they're doing. They
haven't caught on to Lamar Jackson offense.
I think Lamar Jackson.
I mean, I agree to disagree. That's my piece.
I'm with you.
Let's not get bogged down in this. Don't even matter because it's a 2-2 split. I'm just not going to argue.
Right.
I'm tired and hungry, so we ain't coming out arguing this shit.
We got our guy with TBD. And like
that's
you said,
it.
We got
Jake
right there.
Let's highlight a couple of. Go ahead, Drew.
I think that kind of leads into talking about Jake. I think that kind of leads into like Quentin Williams, and like him transferring and not staying and developing, and like all these like young freshmen running out because it's like you're a freshman. If you look at our roster, we got like almost like 55 freshmen on the team, scholarship freshmen.
Can't be right.
No, that's very true. We only got 8 seniors. We got
65.
We got 8 seniors.
Because they let them.
Remember last year didn't count. So basically,
the redshirt freshmen from last year, they're still fresh. They're still considered a freshman. They're still considered a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, redshirt freshman aim is going to be so last year are still freshmen.
Yeah, but right, that's why Dan's saying the team's going to be so young next year, right? But the Quentin Williams thing was kind of going to be a project, but he played defensive end all of high school, and then we moved him inside the D-tackle. So, I mean, he might not just see any playing time coming even next year. I wouldn't transfer yet, but, I mean, some of y'all might know the ins and outs of that, but...
I mean,
I don't think I liked his energy, but he's not gonna make a break the D lines. But I did love his energy though he brought to the team.
I mean, I hate to see him go. Kid from North Carolina, a bigger body guy. I think we were kind of experimenting a little bit about where we're gonna end up placing him. So I get it, you know, maybe he just felt like it was best to move on. But actually, before we get completely out of the pit game, I want to highlight a couple other things from that game. You know, shout out TBD, great game. I also want to make sure we highlight the player Rooster, 17 for, I believe, 80, 2 on the ground. Rambo and Restrepo also had great games through the air. Both guys, 7 catches apiece. I believe I'm going off the top of the dome. I want to say 101 for Rambo. And hold on, I got it in my notes here. I just accidentally closed out that.
Rambo to make some money coming to Miami this year, too.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I mean, you know, KJ Osborne did it, you know, and he's doing his thing in the league right now.
And you know, the crazy thing about Rambo is he's a redshirt junior. So if he doesn't get the grade he wants, he can come back because he know he got TBD there as his quarterback.
Right. So 7 for 101 for Rambo and 7 for 89 for Restrepo. Also, Rambo was named to the Bendard list.
The blank
position. Blitnikov watch list. Yeah. I don't know why I said Bendard.
Blitnikov, yeah.
And show some love to the other side of the football. James Williams, six tackles and an interception.
Six solo, nine total.
Oh, it was nine?
Nine total, six solo.
Oh, well, hell. I didn't have that. That's that right. I appreciate that, bro.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes they don't say total. They be like, oh, solo. You know,
yeah, and then they have it separated.
It was crazy as him and Kitchens graded the best as best tacklers in the game.
He was named ACC Defensive Back of the Week. So shout out to him. Tyreek had a great game as well. Only one tackle and one interception, but really did a good job just locking down this side. All in all, in that pit game, things went the way.
Hey, what about the run? Our run defense was outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has been the last two games, but then we've given up a ton through the air, right? So, but it Manny made it sound like that was by design, and I know it sounds really bad because we almost gave up 600 yards. But when I actually got a chance to watch that game, I had to give Pickett a lot more respect than I did coming into it. He was,
I don't trust nothing Manny say.
I mean, that's fine, but you know, the same thing happened.
If it was the worst quarterback, we would have had more picks. Pickett is nice.
Pickett's pretty nice, right? Yeah, exactly. Pickett's pretty nice. And that is the same exact way they lost to Western Michigan. They were very one-dimensional. They weren't able to move the ball on the ground at all. And, you know, they tossed it around a lot and ended up losing a close game. And it's pretty much the same exact formula that worked out for us. Now, all in all, I don't like giving up damn near 600 yards of offense. Period. But in today's game, Georgia is like way above everybody else. And then there's just not much else. Because remember, Pitt was a highly ranked defense coming into this game. And we lit them up for, you know, 400 through the air. So what is college football defense at this
man,
point?
Man, we supposed to lit them up, man.
No, I'm just speaking on the change.
We beat Pitt 3 years in a row. This shouldn't even been a question.
Oh, no. I'm just speaking on the change in college football. Name me the best defenses in college football right now.
UGA, I know what you're saying, Errol, but go ahead.
And then who?
That's it.
You give Clemson some credit.
Clemson's still that good. Clemson, as bad as they are, their defense still plays.
Defense is still good. After that, it's very murky. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of good defense saying out there.
Before Michigan fell asleep, their defense was playing good against Michigan State.
And Ohio State defense is good too.
They got beat.
But I agree with what you're saying, L, but I saw X tweeting the other day. But I agree with him too. Like, I understand. Okay, we might have wanted to stop the run and let Pickens try to beat us passing or whatever Manny said, but if you let quarterback throw for 500 yards, you're giving that team a chance to beat you. So that's why I didn't really agree with what Manny said. Like, if anybody has 500 on anything, 600 close to 600 yards on offense, you're giving them a chance to beat you. So that's why
I didn't agree.
And if we lost, it probably would have been a different, you know what I'm saying, something else he said. But I agree with what he said the other day. My thing is,
okay, you're the defense. Scratch the fact that you're the head coach. You're the defensive coordinator. You came to Miami with Mark Rick to be the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Your defense was the first 3 years. Basically, you can say you had a top 10 defense your first 3 years in Miami. You become the head coach of Miami. Your defense is top maybe 75 now. Like, that's a big jump off. Now, we come to this game. Oh, yeah, they got a Heisman candidate quarterback. It's Pittsburgh. It's the same quarterback we played 2017 where he wasn't good, but he beat us because our defense just ain't show up that game. Now we play them again. Our linebackers was nowhere in place of making plays at all the whole game. That gave him all the time to scramble and throw the ball. Why you don't have a linebacker that's saying, hey, as soon as he get out of pocket, attack and hit him, kill him. Come on, man. Diaz, well, he's a linebacker coach too.
Well, I'll say this, right, and I'm not defending Manny at all, because his linebacking recruiting has been atrocious. It has been god-awful. But the key to his defense has been defensive ends, and we don't have the studs we've had in more recent years. PFF said that this was our second most pressures that we've had since the Alabama game. Alabama game, I believe we had 35. I think this game was 26, 27.
I think that's because of how many times he dropped back to throw, though, at the same time.
That's – yo, no. You
threw the ball 60 times.
You can't – yeah, you absolutely cannot take that factor out. But I'm saying the difference is we don't have the guys that are going to make the sack. We got guys that can get the heat, we can get some pressure, but we don't have these guys that are going to go ahead and bring that quarterback down. And that's just a testament to us needing to upgrade that position. And I think all of us came in this year worried about the defensive end position. I think all of us thought – I mean, the fact that Zach McCloud still started, it says a lot. Like, Zach is still starting.
It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to keep having that position key when you keep constantly getting players leaving to the draft. Going back to –
And then I think losing Cam Williams kind of hurt too.
Going back to Jackson from Gulliver. Going back to Jonathan Garvin, you know what I'm saying? Going back to Greg Russo. Going back to Jalen Phillips, Quincy Roche. These all players who got drafted to go to the NFL that left early. I mean, besides Quincy Roche.
And we didn't recruit. And we didn't recruit.
We really got players who. They gonna play, but you really like, hey, you gonna come in because we got starters already.
So yeah, and getting DeAndre Johnson, that transfer, that was pretty much pointless.
Well, yeah, because we didn't get Jermaine Johnson, we blew that. We slow played Jermaine Johnson, and then now we ended up with DeAndre. We got the wrong Johnson. Pause.
Got the wrong Johnson, Paul.
We're going to be in the same situation next year if we don't have any of these DNs from Miami either. So,
I agree. And let me be clear. My telling y'all that I see how you can't fire Manny ain't a cosign, because I think he mismanaged the recruiting in this year as well. So, I'm all for moving on. Trust me. Like the guy. Nothing against him on a personal level, but he just mismanaged this thing some. So Manny came in. Think about year one, Manny. Manny year one was this cocky dude. All these Twitter posts, and he learned. And every year he's learned. He's gotten better, and I believe in certain ways. But the problem is, this ain't no learning job. And
Manny said it's not a rebuild when he first got the job.
That's what he said.
It's not right? a rebuild yeah. here.
And then he went, I got to rebuild this shit.
let me go back on what you just said, basically about he basically blew the recruiting edge this year. I think, I don't know who said it, somebody said it earlier about, I think it was Drew, when Drew said about 55 freshmen is coming back. He basically looked at the team and said, well, everybody really going to come back. Nobody really leaving besides the 8 seniors that we know going to leave. That was King, Harley.
Even Bubba Bowles a junior.
Who?
Yeah, Gervin.
Gervin's a junior.
Only the senior.
Williams.
He looked at that like, you know what? This team want to come back. He didn't know that they was going to up the scholarship limit to 32. They up it to 32. He basically looking like, hey, well, we could recruit maybe 15 players and still hit the portal and win right now instead of the future.
But he can't even get – we can't even get 32 right now, because if you look at our roster, If say the 16 juniors come back, or say even 12 of them come back with the 55 to 60 freshmen, that's already like 72 players. That's already 72, and I'm not even counting the sophomores like Couch and Buff and the guys that are considered sophomores on the roster. I don't remember those numbers, but like we really don't have much wiggle room in our recruiting class. That's why I feel like this recruiting class, we needed to recruit size. That should have been the main thing. Like we should have gone after big linebackers and big defensive linemen and big offensive linemen. If we're not going to recruit a lot of players,
I feel like we do have wiggle room though. Because, I mean, everybody else in the country has the same amount of freshmen and sophomores who have. I might be wrong, but.
Not really, because you got to look at some teams have a lot of token, like, say, like Michigan State. Most of their players, their roster is kind of balanced out. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, they don't have, like, 55, 60, three-year freshmen. We have three-year freshmen on the team that we consider redshirt freshmen.
I get that.
You see what I'm saying? We have three. They, in a regular year, if there wasn't a COVID year, they would have been considered a redshirt sophomore, but. Because of COVID, they consider a redshirt freshman again this year. So we might get players that's transferred. That's probably why Quentin Williams transferred, because he's like, oh shit, like, I'm a freshman. But like, I'm thinking about like that. Like, if you're a freshman on Miami, like, why would you leave? Why would you leave? There's going to be another competition because everybody is in your class. The competition, everybody's going to be a sophomore next year. Everybody's going to be a junior next year. I mean, we might have some future problems as far as recruiting goes, because we don't want to have a class with like 30 seniors. You know what I mean? Like that can be a situation in the future where we might have two classes back to back with like 30 seniors. You know, and we can only bring in 25.
I think this year they're going to allow us to have extra. So I think we do have wiggle room because we don't have to meet that 85.
They said the rule is the 85. You still have to be at the 85.
Yeah, you still have to be at 85, but they still allow you the extra room because of COVID here. So just say the seniors that want to come back next year, it basically cancels out for them.
No, they can't come back this year.
No, not the seniors.
Well, I don't see how they could keep you at 85 if they did that rule where these freshmen are still this fresh year, or whatever so, class you in during that class, and then they raise the limit. I don't see how they expect you to stay at 85 still doing it.
All right, so you got a situation like look at Florida State, right? In the last probably like 3 years, like they lose a player like every week. Like, you know what I mean? So a situation like Florida State where they're losing a player, they're losing a player like every week. They've been doing that shit for like the last 3 years. Like in Florida State, their players go in the portal like every week. You know what I mean? So, like, they don't got the dev. So, they don't got – if you look at Florida State roster right now, they maybe have 50 FBS, like, scholarship players that they, like, recruited and, like, wanted to be there. You know what I mean? Like, the rest of their scholarship players are either transfers or walk-ons that they put on scholarship to make up their numbers. Like, their best player, Ward, if he was a walk-on. You know, Trayshawn Ward.
Maybe the NCAA is trying to, like, level out – maybe the NCAA is trying to level out the field – trying to get boys to transfer to lesser schools and even out the playing field like it happened this year, maybe. I mean, NCAA works in ways like they know what they be doing. That's just my opinion. I don't know. I mean, the NCAA be funny doing stuff like that, trying to level because the playing field has been leveled out this year due to all these transfers and all that. So maybe they expect boys to transfer to other schools, level out the playing field, get ready for this little 12-team tournament they about to do, or whatever. I don't know.
Like, I've always felt like you should, if a player transfers from your team, you should be able to get a transfer, but it shouldn't count against your initials. Like, you know, you have the 25 initials, it shouldn't count against your initials. Like, if you lose a transfer, you should be able to get a transfer.
I don't know.
No, actually, you're the recruiting guy. What do you feel about that?
What happened?
He got to run it back. He just stepped off for a second.
Oh, no, I was saying, like, if you lose a transfer, you should be able to get a transfer, but it shouldn't count against your 25.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But, obviously, it's a different rule when it comes to UM for some reason. I don't know. Because public schools are allowed. They allowed to get an instant. They lose a player, they're allowed to get that instant scholarship.
because they got the money to pay for the extra scholarship.
Yeah, because Bama been oversigning for years now. Other SEC schools, Ole Miss been oversigning.
But
so.
You know, man, it's like we lose a player, we don't get that player, we don't get that scholarship back to the next school year.
Yeah, like we'll hold it to the recruiting class, to the next recruiting class.
Yeah. So I don't know what that's about, but I totally agree. Like if you lose a player during the season, you should get that scholarship back immediately.
Yeah,
but we'll see how it goes, man. I think we're going to sign maybe 18 players.
Think so? This year. I don't know where we're going to get them from. Well, we got 18.
I feel like a lot of them might be dead weight. We're going to run to the other issue. Like, we're not getting 18 boys. We're going to get one off the rip. Ain't no way.
You're going to get like 8 high school kids, and the rest are going to be transfers.
Yeah, I think we'll get 18. They won't. The number is between that. It originally is between 18 and 20. I don't think we're gonna get 20. So I'm looking at 18, and then probably like 5-6 transfers.
Wait, 18 high school kids? That's 12 more. That's like 12 more high school recruits.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna get more than 10 high school kids. Yeah, bro.
I don't see that.
Nah, we're getting way more than 10 high school kids. Yeah.
I think we'll have like 5 JUCOs, like 5 transfer portals. And like maybe like 10 to 12 high school kids.
No. We're gonna get, like I say, 18. 18 is a low number for high school kids. The rest will be JUCO. I mean, not JUCO transfer.
So you think we got 10 more high school kids coming to this class?
I mean, if the staff stays the same right now, yes.
I don't know who the hell they are.
I don't see how anyway.
Even this week for the game this week, we only got like 7 recruits coming.
It's way more recruits coming.
From what Gabby put out, it's only 7.
It's gonna probably be maybe like 20-25 recruits that's gonna be at the game.
The field general has spoken, so let's let it be at the game, man.
It'd be almost 30-50 recruits out there. Like I'd be looking like, well, who is who? But it's gonna be recruits there, whether it be 23 or 24, but it's gonna be recruits there. That's a no brainer.
Are they gonna be Miami caliber? That's my last thing about this.
Yeah, caliber. That's another thing too.
Miami caliber.
Or are they gonna be
Miami caliber recruits though?
And then how many of them is gonna be 2023 and 2024?
Hey man, at this point, we got players on our team that we thought was Miami caliber that aren't. So
that's very true.
What you want me to say about that?
That's very true.
But nah, I mean, like I say, recruiting, I don't have an issue with it. I do have an issue with the way he handled it.
I recruit players
not to commit when they want to commit. I just don't think you should do that. But here it is. We got 8 recruits and signing
day
is a month away, so.
Well, we done went down a hell of a rabbit hole.
Yeah, we did.
I don't even know how we got way over here. Let's reel it in, man. Get up out of here. De'Eric King did go on a podcast. I think he went on a Lamar Thomas podcast, and he said 2 kind of pivotal things. We'll have to get too deep into it. But he said that he hurt his knee again versus Alabama. And he said he's moving on to the NFL. He will not be coming back. My quick thoughts on that, best luck to him. I mean, at some point, you know, people are like, oh, he come back. I'm like, bro, like, at some point, you got to just grow up. And that's no shot at De'Eric, but how long are you going to continue to try to play college football if your goal is the NFL? If he's going to be an NFL guy, he's either that or he isn't at this point. So, unfortunate to hear that he did hurt himself again in the Alabama game, which we saw, but I didn't know he was, like, hurt, and then he hurt his shoulder. So we'll get it – you know, he's going to move on. So best of luck to that brother in that regards. Anybody, any thoughts on that? Anything to chime in on that?
I don't know if we discussed it on the show, but I kept telling people like he was hurt after that game. But right. He knew his time limit as far as being a college quarterback was, it's like it's now or never. So he tried to fight his way through.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people try to blame it on the coach. Now, this one thing I would say, Manny, I don't think Manny forced him to play. I think Manny allowed him to make his own decision, saying, well, King, you know, if you could go out there, we're going to trust you. You know, we're going to allow you to go out there. I think Derrick King was like, yeah, man, I think I could go out there. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I'm that hurt where I can't play. You know what I'm saying? So it's just unfortunate that he got hurt again in the Michigan State game with the shoulder. Now it's a totally different ball game. Now your shoulder is hurt where you can't throw the ball. Now I might have to just call it quits, you know what I'm saying, or stop for the rest of the season because now my shoulder hurt along with
knee. Now we're talking shoulder and knee. So
yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So that's like unfortunate.
They should have took him out at halftime of that Michigan State game and just rolled the game out.
But remember, he went out that game.
He got hurt.
It was like they put him immediately back in because he ran out and said, I'm ready.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like they should have. If he would have took himself out, we probably would have won that game.
I'm kind of with Drew. If you hurt your knee in an Alabama game, once you hurt your knee, like other stuff is going to start hurting because you're not stable as it is. And so it comes to the point where coaches have to be like, okay, son, like this isn't about you. We can't put you in front of the program. Like you shouldn't even trot him out there for the next game. Then
It's the same thing with Bubba Bolden. He couldn't tackle for three games because his shoulder was busted.
The coach has to go because
that's what I'm saying.
He needs to make these decisions instead of you saying, hey, right. I'm the coach.
You're putting the play, and that's why I think the players like Manny because
he treats them like men.
As if they tell him when they're going to play, when they're not going to play. They make a lot of decisions.
He's not that rah-rah-rah coach. He's not going to yell at
right. you. If King was hurt his knee in the Bama game, first game of the season after he tore his ACL, we shouldn't have saw him until maybe mid-season or something. You're hurting the team. It's not fun. We understand this and that. You came back. You love Miami. You love to play, but you're hurting the program. Right. And went out there and busted his shoulder up, and they still ran it back out there. Like, what are you doing? You costing the team, and that's what happened.
The interception he threw is because his shoulder was busted. It wasn't because he got hit.
Right, and we all saw he couldn't throw 10 yards. He was skipping stuff before then, and we still trotted him out there. And if he didn't get hurt again in that Michigan State game, we probably would have trotted him out there the next game against App State, too. Which we did, I think.
But the App State game was before Michigan State.
It was before Michigan State.
Right.
Okay, he wasn't helping App State game. Like, he wasn't helping.
Right.
I mean, he probably could have played through the knee injury because he said it was a ligament that wasn't going to affect him. But it's your quarterback. You throw the ball.
But if you tore your ACL the year before and you hurt your knee again, you got to just sit down, man, because it's going to start piling up. It's going to start piling up. Your body's not stable.
The thing would happen, and this is me. This is coming from my personal opinion. I felt like he overworked his body.
Yeah.
Which is why he got hurt again, and which is why he got a shoulder hit, because he overworked it to come back. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point, Ed.
And I think maybe because we played Alabama game one, the staff was like, hey, yeah, okay, overwork your body and come back. You know what I'm saying? Maybe if we had like a cupcake game,
like since Connecticut State.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Maybe they would have said, hey, okay, well, look, you ain't got to rush back. You know what I'm saying? Take your time and come back. We'll work you in there when we play somebody big. But
I still think they would have threw him out there because if King trying to get this film for the NFL, whatever King said, that's what Miami coaches was going to go by.
The NFL would rather you sit out than play hurt.
to be honest with you, because they don't want
to. King was already borderline NFL quarterback. It was like a maybe. So he was probably trying to get as much film, show, okay, I'm ready, I'm just sitting no games out. I just think he told the coaches what was going to happen with him, and the coaches had no say-so. Maybe the players, he say-so this year, and that's why we are predicting that we are not seeing these younger boys. That's my piece about it.
So,
no, that's the truth.
Well, shout-out to D.R., everything he helped do for the program. Yeah. Shout-out to his promotion for something I'm never eating, the King Dog. I'm not putting no King Dog in my mouth, bro. But shout out to him for getting that deal over with the Panthers NHL team. So and I want to shout him out too, because all that money, all the proceeds go to the offensive lineman. So that's dope of him, man. Like I said, kids, you can't help but love. We'll get out of here, man. We'll speak briefly on Georgia Tech. A bad team. There's not a ton to break down on those guys. They don't have really anything particularly prolific offensively or defensively.
Gibbs is elite, I feel. But whatever.
Elite? Nah, I can't go elite. I can't go elite.
I mean, I think
yeah, he's I want to say elite, but he's good.
Well, I say I think he's an elite talent. He's just on that.
He's a good ACC running back.
I think any other good team, he would be elite. That's just me. I think he's an elite talent.
Perhaps. Okay, yes. But again, what's going to probably happen is we're going to have the opportunity to neutralize him.
I mean, you're from
Georgia. We have the last two games, right? So I believe that the strategy is going to be you're not going to beat us with Gibbs. Jeff, you throw it around and beat us. I mean, Gibbs is averaging 5.2 a carry, which isn't elite at the collegiate level. It's good. It's solid, and he has two touchdowns. But again, he may be on a bad team. I can go with that. But Jeff Sims is going to have to beat us with his arm. Mm-hmm. And that defense is 115th in total defense out of, 120. So I had a little more time to think on it, and I don't see how Georgia Tech is going to be able to keep up with Tyler coming into his own.
We might beat him by 21. I know the exact score.
Man, look, score prediction. I'm finna gas you with him 42-17. Let's go.
I said 41-17.
I'm not going to put a score out, but I think we went by 21.
Give us a score. God, go with a score. Give us a score.
All right, I'm going to go with a score. 48-21.
Damn. Y'all boys going way bigger than me. I'ma go Miami.
He's trying to say that job. He's going to air it out.
I mean, that's true. I'ma go.
Yeah, I'm going to say next week.
Right. I'ma go more generous than I did on the roll up. I'm going to go 38-17 Miami. Just a few less points than y'all fellas. I just don't see where they're going to be able to be dominant. Their total offense has been pretty productive, but Sims still is a guy that's growing and learning. He is better than he was, but I mean, he's got about 1,200 yards, 11 touchdowns, I want to say, and
7 interceptions.
6 interceptions, yeah, 6. So, completion percentage is at 61. Not god awful, but just not that explosive and dynamic. So I just
and your defense, we haven't beat Georgia. We didn't play Georgia Tech last year, right? Manny hasn't beat because Georgia Tech beat us his first year, so that's something.
That's fine. I can't see it.
But even in that year, we should have won the field goal.
Right, we should have won that one too. So
yeah.
Right. I can't see it. We beating them people, man. I'm not like I don't want to get too deep into it. Like I said, because we've been on this joint for longer than we ever have.
Hey, Leroy, a subliminal. We got 2 cupcake games the next 2 weeks.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Everybody know that. Everybody know that.
Right, and if you got one of these, it's gonna be hell to pay on the next show.
Okay. I mean, it is what it is. We could do a more detailed breakdown on that one after the game. I just don't – there's not – honestly, I went through their roster. There's not a ton to highlight to even really get – break into, man, and really get super concerned about. It's just not a good team.
I'm going to tell you one thing. We got to – if we go – if we start out fast, we blow the game out. If we allow them to stay in the game, that will beat us.
They should have beat North Carolina State and Clemson. On top
right, that's well, that's been our Achilles heel. Right. That's my Achilles heel, but their Achilles heel is they've kind of either competed with the big dogs and hung in there, or just completely just look totally unprepared to even be out there. So I'm hoping that's the team we get.
Yeah, they beat North Carolina by 23 too. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, right. So it could go that. Right. It could go weird. It could get weird. The ACC's been weird this year altogether. But I got nothing else, man. Thank you for tuning in. You guys got anything else before we get out of here? Hey, Drew, thank you for coming on board, man. We appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, man.
We're going to get into some of we're going to chop it up, get in some more ideas. He's got some great ideas to help improve our show. So stick with us. Like I told y'all before, we only going to keep getting better. So ride with us.
Yeah, bro. And I might be on No Cap Sunday, y'all. So, Drew, I'll probably be seeing you too, my boy.
Yeah, I don't like to talk shit before games because I always jinx myself. So I'll be on the following after the game.
No doubt.
When I lose, I'll be on.
All right, man. We're getting up out of here. One.
All right. We're gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.